Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 Sports Director, joining us now here on the show. Appreciate Ross Tucker. Jill, it is playoff time. It's draft time. It's Cats time. It's all the things are happening here in Nashville. How the heck are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I just crushed some eggs here at Kitchen Notes. I'm starting the day right and excited to get going with you guys before this fun round one, day one of the draft unravels
yes.
in front of us.
I don't know how we swung this deal, but every Thursday we get to be here, and so it's
It's good.
It's good.
Throwing caution to the wind. Don't eat on air, or Chase is going to drop the hammer on me.
Good. Duly noted.
Well,
I got it.
Jonathan, so we were at Hermitage Golf Course the other day for a great golf tournament from Stars that they do every year, and they had right by our broadcast location, they had a fry stand. This guy that was like doing fries
Amazing.
And different flavors and everything.
Oh, gosh. That must
so
be
of
thank
course
you.
What a tease.
They bring some over, and we're talking to Hutton, and I'm just like sitting there, you know, asking questions. And I just hear,
but I don't hear it back in my ear. I'm like, okay, and the mic's up like this. I'm like, I don't hear it.
And I look over and I just see Joe just stuffing it.
I mean, Chase wanted to banish me to Elba with Napoleon. I was never going to come back. So just a little caution for you.
I'll wait.
It's all good. So, Jim Wyatt put out his mock draft that he talked to 150 people about who they got. I think 130 said Joe Alt. You being one of those that said Joe Alt. It feels right, so that means the Titans will probably take a pass rusher.
Exactly, right? It's so funny you said that, because coming over here, I was thinking, okay, we're going to talk about Joe. We're going to talk about how he's arguably the best offensive lineman in this class. You know, how does he fit in schematically? But then I was like, what happens if some Chargers take Joe Alt? What happens if a move is made? What happens if all of a sudden Joe Alt is not on the board, or the Titans go a different direction? And then what? And I think that's the big question mark, is what could happen other than the Titans taking Alt? Because I think it's really hard to find someone that is not gung-ho or does not think that Joe Alt would be a great pick for the Titans. That is undeniable.
I love these receivers. I do. And I would love to see the Titans take one of those receivers. But all that said, they need Joe Alt. Because the left side of the line is then taken care of for at least the next 4 years, but probably longer, because you would have Skoronski from last year, Joe Alt, and then they're working with Bill Callahan, who's a heck of a coach.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so,
what a setup.
So, yeah, so it will be, you know, we're all sitting there waiting for the pick, and Goodell walks across the stage, and it's like, all right, Joe Alt, get your Joe Alt jerseys, and then he goes, and it would be typical Titans. The Titans select some guy that we haven't talked about all year. And it's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah. It's too easy for the Alt pick to be like, all right, here we go, put it in there. Chaos is going to happen the first six. It always does. We've talked about this ad nauseum, about how the drafts before the Titans got screwed by teams going before them. And, I will be shocked if it goes straight to 7 and Joe Alt's sitting there, there's no trades or anything. I'll be shocked. It'll make your job a lot easier tonight,
Yeah,
Jill.
I would, man. I wouldn't be complaining.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing for you, though, is that, like, they trade back from 7 to 22, and then at 9:28, you've got a hit on Fox 17, and it's like, oh, the Titans. And you're like, what? What's going on?
To your last draft, what really hurt me was day two when the Titans traded up to get Will Levis. I don't know if you guys remember. That happened at 8:57. I am literally walking from my office to the studio, and I hear overhead, Jill, Titans make a trade. Because they know I'm headed to the studio or the makeup room. That was pandemonium. And of course, I'm leading the show. So, again, simple to me, yes, for selfish reasons,
right.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. Yeah. We all know that.
But you're also by yourself.
I'm also by myself.
that's the worst.
Yeah, hey, what are you guys doing tonight?
Well, I'm going to Tim McGraw, but Joe can, I've seen Joe edit. He's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm fast. I'll get you there.
Yeah,
so he could do that. But it just makes the most sense. I think, and again, this is dangerous to say, and I've said this for the last 3 months, that with all the talent that's available and picking at 7 – I find it very, very hard for the Titans to screw this up. I've seen them screw some stuff up. So I say that, but I find it very, very difficult that they're going to be to do that.
I do want to point something out. That's twice in the last couple of minutes you've mentioned the history of the Titans and being notorious for making, you know, some questionable moves. We got to remember, this is a new regime. This is a brand new front office. And right now, I think one thing we've learned about Rand Carthon in his last 2 years, right, because this is his second draft with the Titans, he's not afraid to make moves.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to make some moves. We saw that for the first time with Will Levis moving up. We also saw that on display this free agency period, making big splashes, going after those big names, Calvin Ridley, L'Jarius Sneed. So I think I want to give them the credit on, hey, let them build their, you know, their reputation, their repertoire when it comes to how they handle the draft and free agency. So I'm giving them all the credit in the world. And especially after hearing them talk yesterday, I'll be honest with you guys, they looked tired.
Good.
Good. If Carthon and Callahan are listening, Coach Callahan, I apologize, but you guys look tired. And they said it. They said, even Rand Carthon said his son came up to him and said, hey, by the way, I like mom more than you right now because I never see you. And so they brought up that point, you know, the hours away from their families. This is they've been working hard. They said the draft board's done. So they're now it's about just waiting and listening to offers and seeing how the first six picks unfold in front of them.
Yeah, and you said you were there yesterday and got to see all that. I thought it was interesting, and I don't have the exact quote, but that basically, even though this is his second draft, he kind of looks at it as it's his first.
Yes.
And that's been brought up. And it does feel like that, you know, whether he and Vrabel had a good relationship or they didn't or whatever – it does feel like that this is the reset. And even after 1 year, he gets to hit reset too. Now, that also means the clock starts.
Yes.
That, you know, if they screw this draft up, who's everybody going to blame?
Yeah.
If they get it right, who's everybody going to praise? I mean, you know, so that's kind of how this goes. But do you get that sense that there is a little bit of weight off his shoulders that even though now the pressure's on, but this is truly his show and he feels that way?
I think, and if you look back to the presser, Carthon, every time he was asked about, okay, how does he feel about his growth in going into this draft versus last year, every question that was kind of in that direction, he put it back with Callahan. He said, this is ours. This is a new start. This is a completely new team because he's not the one calling the plays on Sunday. It's Callahan, and Carthon said that.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not the one that's drawing up the scheme. I'm not the one that's plugging in plays. That's Callahan. So yes, you could put this all on me, but really, we're in this together. And I don't want to compare that to what he did have with Vrabel, because I think a lot of us would love to know what was going on in that war room, right, last year in the draft, and a lot of times in the office with the two of them, but we don't. I think Carthon made it a point yesterday to go out of his way to make sure whenever the media asked about him and his draft and his strategy, he brought it back to the two of them.
Yeah.
And so I got an overwhelming sense of we are in this together and we are on the same page.
All right, Jill, we've been talking about Brock Bowers. You've been over there. You spent a lot of time at Titans camp over there. I am on the anti-Brock Bowers train.
Oh, okay.
Because
I didn't catch that
he's
memo.
The one.
You need a left tackle, all right?
Yeah.
You need a left tackle.
Okay.
And if you got a left tackle, Brock Bowers, take the left tackle.
So you're not against Brock Bowers. You don't think he's a, you know, like
– oh, he's fantastic.
Smoke and mirrors. Okay, it's just that you want need over
– thank you.
Need over the star power name.
Yeah.
Best available,
exactly.
Right?
We had the argument today about if Drake May falls to 7, he's the best player on the board. Take him. Totally disagree. Ride the Will Levis train. Now if you get another quarterback competition coming there, you've got another nightmare for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Get your left tackle. Now if Brock Bowers, you know, if the Titans trade back to 15 or something and they can get
– different story.
Have two maybe tackles out there, they can pick one, another draft choice and get back – fine.
Yeah.
Don't make him your number one pick tonight.
The only other argument against you, Joe, is that this is arguably one of the deepest classes in offensive line talent. Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan said that numerous times. They both believe this is one of the deepest they've ever seen when it comes to offensive line talent. So, yes, we are all high on Joe Alt. Yes, we all agree that he's arguably the best offensive lineman in this draft.
Right.
But there's also some great guys after him at offensive line that are also plug-and-play blue chip players
sure.
that can come in and play right next to Peter Skoronski. So the argument could be if Brock Bowers is there at number seven, and mm-hmm. you know that you love the you're high on another offensive lineman,
Fashanu, Latham, Mims.
They're going to be there. They're mm-hmm. not going to be there at 18, 19. They're going to be gone after the first 20 picks. They're gone.
Sure.
I just think they take Brock Bowers at some point. I think somehow, some way, they get Brock Bowers. I don't know. And I told Chase, if they take Brock Bowers at seven, you better teach his butt how to pass block.
I just
– and move him to left tackle.
I don't see how they can – the only way that I can see that scenario happening is they have to trade seven.
Yeah. So if they go back and get like the 11 and 23 from the Vikings,
if Minnesota
whatever,
calls like, hey, we love – And again, here's the other scenario. If Drake May falls, if Drake May is this year as Will Levis, that's going to change a whole lot. Because if you know, let's say New England has fallen in love with McCarthy and they're buying it.
Right.
And they pass on Drake May, which I think is a mistake. I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this draft. But let's just say he falls and they take McCarthy. Well, then that changes everybody's game plan because then you're going to have Minnesota and Denver and the Raiders – that are going to be calling teams like the Chargers and the Giants yeah. and the Titans going, what do you want? Just like we played the Floyd Reese cut yesterday, him telling, you know, Rich McKay that I'll give you anything you want to move up to get Curse. Yeah. I think those teams would
all
do
right,
that.
So, Jill, to your point, if they get 11 and 23, and you can guarantee me at 23 you're going to take a tackle that you think one of these great tackles would be there at 23, I'll give you Bowers at 11, but then I need that tackle at 23. I'm telling you. We all saw how bad an offensive line can destroy a team.
Absolutely.
So build it. I don't get just
– absolutely.
Just don't take Brock Bowers first and be done with it.
It's not going to be how much they love Brock Bowers. I think it's going to be how much they love someone else other than Joe Alt. Again, J.C. Latham. We talked about the Washington stud, Futanu. Also, yeah. Fashanu. Like, there are so many top-level yep. offensive linemen that can play
right.
at that left tackle position. If the Titans love one of those, Bill Callahan, right? How much do we talk about his eye and what he can see and what he can build? If he says to his dad, which is so funny every time we say it, hey, you know what? This is a guy with potential because of X, Y, and Z. If Joe Alt is not there, or if you go this direction, look at this guy. Look at Fashanu. Look at Fontenot.
Right.
So that's my argument is this is a deep offensive line class, maybe the deepest it's ever been.
Yep.
You know Titans have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D.
All right, I want to ask you this. Talking to Jill Jelinek at Fox 17, join us at Omni Nashville Hotel on the Chase and Big Joe Show. You're at all these press conferences. You've talked to Rand and Callahan. Let me ask you this, a weird question. When Brock Bowers is brought up to Callahan and Carthon, how is their body language? Ooh, do they sit up?
Question.
Do they move around? Do they lean in? I'm telling you,
okay.
Body language is one of the most important things ever to anyone. I mean, I know you probably like paying attention, but how was there? Is there a little like excitement there?
There was a question, not specifically about Brock Bowers, but his name was mentioned when the question was, "What do you do when you have best available versus what you need?" And they. Carthon and Callahan, you can look at the transcript, went back to the, hey, we look at all options. We look at all options answer, which, yes, is a generic answer, you know, doesn't get into much detail, but it's also the truth, right? And they can't predict what's happening six picks in front of them, so they do have to consider everything.
Right, yeah.
I think you couldn't tell much by the body language, Joe, to your point, but I think it was very obvious that they were not ruling anything out. That's what I took away. That's what I took away because they're trying to predict every scenario. They're trying to be ready for every scenario. They talked about the board. They said we have every player on our board and we first stack it vertically based on talent. And then we take those same players, throw them horizontally, but with completely different factors. So they're looking at several different things, trying to anticipate every scenario. But at the end of the day, they have a game plan for what happens in front of them.
Jill Jelinek is with us. So we've talked about tonight, and, you know, a lot's going to dictate tonight's going to dictate what happens the rest of the way.
Absolutely.
Usually does.
Absolutely.
I'm just as excited about 38 as I am 7.
Why?
Because I think you talk about how deep this draft is with offensive linemen. There's good receivers that'll be there at 38. If they've addressed defensive back or cornerback quite a bit. you know, in the offseason. So I don't necessarily think I want to spin that pick there. Pass rush.
Yes, I was like, just going to say defensively. Pass rush. Yes.
I mean, you could get – I don't love an inside linebacker there, but it, but it's a need. So, but, like, you could get a pass rusher there to help Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah,
there's a lot of options at 38 as well.
I agree with you. I don't think secondary is as much of a need, especially with L'Jarius Sneed in that big contract, as it and Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
Secondary isn't as big as a need as I think the pass rush, agree, somebody to help and grow with Jeffrey Simmons. But I do think they made a comment yesterday in the presser how – or excuse me, yeah, Tuesday in the presser how those later rounds are where they're challenging. Callahan said, we're challenging our scout team to find those defensive diamonds.
Yep.
Find those guys that can be plug-in players on our defense and also some offensive tools, yes, but mostly defense. Plug them in right now. Those guys are going to be found rounds 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, and look, Rand Carthon was a big part of that when he was in San Francisco of finding those guys, you know, in the late rounds. So
he also found Trey Lance. Does he take credit for that?
No.
No.
I have not heard him once take credit for that.
Right.
No, but I'm happy to give him
Shanahan.
Credit.
Yeah. That's Shanahan did
all
that
the bad things. But then you got Brock Purdy coming.
Yeah.
I went and read all the pre-draft.
He was pretty good.
Not after the combine and his pro day. I mean, nobody was. It's one of those things like, hey, who's on your board left? I don't know. This Purdy guy. Ah, pick him. Who cares? He's not going to play.
It's a great story.
And then, boom, there he is. And, you know, he's the starting quarterback now, which forced the hand of trading a lot of players over there. I just don't want I go back, and I do this with Chase quite a bit, the history. Like 2010, I told Chase this, they went to Jason Pierre-Paul, they took Derek Morgan. I'll never forget how the Titans, they won't admit it, they panicked taking Derek Morgan because they wanted Jason Pierre-Paul. I'll never forget, Jill, Dave McGinnis walks in the where all the media is and is telling us how great Derek Morgan is. And it's one of those things where if you speak over and over again, you're trying to convince me that he's good. You're
kind of pushing it a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was like.
A little extra effort there.
Yeah, guy doesn't make a Pro Bowl. He's very average here for a long time. It's one of those panic things. I don't want to see that again. I don't want Carthon to panic. I think John Robinson panicked 2 years ago with A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks. Oof. I just hope now that there's this collaborative effort over there. It's like, all right, we got 19 different scenarios. Let's do this together. Let's not panic, because panic picks aren't good picks.
Well, and again, this is the NFL draft. You can't predict the picks in front of you. Now, the Titans have it a little easier because there's only 6 picks in front of them, right? When J-Rob, a couple years ago, you know, Titans were deeper in the draft. That's a lot more variables to work with and try to predict.
Right.
But to your point, Joe, I agree. Collaboration has been a buzzword since Carthon got here last year and has been carried over with Callahan. It was very clear to me on Tuesday with that presser, the two of them sitting next to each other, that one, they were both very tired, and two, they were both on the same page.
Good.
I'm glad they're tired. That means they're working. I appreciate that. I'm tired, which means I'm working.
I think I even saw a little more gray in Callahan's beard. I wasn't going to say anything, but I was like,
oh, that happened.
What would you think about Amy last year with Rand and Vrabel? Kind of like the den mom. Like, you two get together. You two play well. Don't make me come back in here again. Don't make me.
Oh,
and I think she does not have to worry about it this time.
But, I don't think so.
Sauce Gardner has tweeted. I laughed at this. If we draft Rome, Bowers, MHJ, Neighbors, or Joe Alt, I will be announcing the pick today. If anybody besides the guys I named are the pick at 10, y'all will not see me announcing the pick.